This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. Also joining me, as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much. Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capital and I can say Toronto Maple Leaf, Leapin' Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Leapin' Lou.
Morning, Wally. Morning, Naz.
Thank you. Just let our listeners know, big show today. We're saddened on the passing of Boreas Salming, and over the course of our time on the air, we've done tribute shows, and we always pay homage to the heroes of our youth. And it's been a tough one this year. Mike Bossy, Guy Lafleur, and Boreas Salming. We've got coming on the show today the host of Leafs Nation on Fan 590 and Sportsnet, former Toronto Maple Leaf general manager Gord Stellick. I'll be looking forward to chatting with Gord. Also, the captain, Daryl Sittler, who's going to join us middle of the hour to share. He's one of Boria's good friends, and he left a tear in my eyes with that ceremony at Center Ice a few weeks back. Seeing Daryl choked up helping out his teammate is an image I will carry with me for a long, long time. And we're thrilled that Daryl, our captain, will be joining us this morning. And later on in the hour, we have to talk World Cup soccer. It's a huge day. Canada, Croatia at 11. And who better than Carmine Marcantonio and Roberto Iarrucci, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famers, talking about that game and also the great game Canada played against Belgium. Naz, you know, they called him the king, and the king has passed. And, you know, we obviously, on behalf of our listeners, he's in our thoughts. We obviously rest in peace is the first thing that comes to mind. Courageous man. Gave everybody the opportunity here in his last days for us to be able to say thank you. For what he did for the Toronto Maple Leafs and for Leafs Nation and for the courage and dignity he showed when he was a player and when he came to town a few weeks back. And he will always be in our hearts and thoughts. Naz, your opportunity to pass along your thoughts.
Yeah, one of the most popular Leaf players ever. Could be the most popular. He came over from Sweden and really showed himself as a courageous young man back then. And I feel sorry for him and his family, but now, you know, that's a tough disease, and I'm sure it's better for him this way.
Lou, I was privileged to receive a photo from you this morning by text. It was a picture of you and Boria taken when he was in town a couple of weeks ago. It's a fitting tribute. Tell us about the picture, the words you may have exchanged with Boria at that time, and you played against Boria, and your thoughts during your time playing against our beloved number 21.
Well, that picture was taken Saturday night at a Leaf game that I was present at. I know there's a big ceremony on the Friday night with him. I couldn't make that one, so I definitely wanted to show up on Saturday, not knowing whether he was going to be in the building or not because of the festivities of the Hall of Fame weekend. I asked around to where Salming was, and they more or less gave me directions to one of the suites that he was in, and just casually walked in with by myself, and obviously the door was locked, and they wouldn't let people in there, but I guess with me being an alumni and a relative mutual friend of Boria, they let me in, and sat and chat with Daryl and Tiger for a bit, and I just went up to him, gave him a big hug, and I told him, thanks for the memories. It was something that I'll never forget. And being a youngster in Toronto watching the Leafs in the early 70s, being a Leaf fan back then and then going into Philadelphia with really four players that would show up on a regular basis, that was Tiger, Lanny, Daryl, and Boris Salming, the Swede who came over here thinking that everybody was, I hate to say this word, but with no backbone, as most Swedes had back then, and taking on everything that the Philadelphia Flyers threw at him, and even more in the old Philadelphia Spectrum. And if I do recall, they almost beat them in that series. And then talking to fellow friends and teammates from the Flyers later on when I was part of the National Hockey League, that they respected Boria for all the things that he had done walking into that building and not really trying to scare him and come into play the game that everybody loved, especially from where he was from. It was very, very touching. Boria and I got together on multiple summers in early August when we would get ready for training camp. He put on a pair of skates for the first time, brand new skates, and you know what that is. And he'd wheel around us like we were pylons. And we always had great moments. We always chatted a little bit. We never actually had a chance to go out for lunch because we were on other sides, and Boria was a member of the Leafs back then, and he had so many friends that were there also when we were getting in shape.
Lou, you're gonna have to forgive me. We'll continue to carry on this conversation. We've got Gord Stellick on the line, and Lou, I noticed you became emotional just thinking about it. I went on and watched the videos of Boria and Daryl at Center Ice this morning, and that brought a tear to my eye again. If we live video stream, anybody watching online, I got the tissue box right next to me this morning. Anyways, we want to welcome, and we're thrilled to have him this morning, the host of Leafs Nation on Fan 590 and Sportsnet, and also co-host of NHL Morning Skate, Gord Stellick. Gord, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate this.
Well, I'll tell you, Wally, first of all, I know Naz as the father of legendary fan producer and on-air personality Matt Marchese. And if truth be told, I was general manager of the Leafs and traded for a guy named Lou Fantastico, at least David Poyle, fifth-round pick, and Lou got 21 goals. If I made more trades like that, I wouldn't be on radio now. But anyway, I'd be still in the league. But anyway, good morning to all you guys. I always enjoy your show.
Well, thanks so much, Gord. Thank you for making me laugh. I've had a couple of tears this morning just thinking about I've got Daryl Sittler coming on afterwards, and I'm trying to think of what I'm going to ask him. I've had to keep the tissues next to me. So thanks for injecting a little bit of levity into this. And I spoke to Lou yesterday, and I told him you were going to be on the show, and he said, so, well, make sure you tell Gord that's when he traded for me, it's the best trade he ever made in his career.
For once, Lou's right.
Yeah. Anyways, Gord, we're here to pay tribute to the king, and as we should. One of the greats of all time in Leaf Nation, and perhaps even a better, and aside from his talents as a hockey player, perhaps even a greater human being than his hockey skills. 2 days ago, Gord, you tweeted, if you Google the term "the greatest," both on and off the ice, the answer is always Boria Salming. That caught my attention, Gord. I'll give you an opportunity to talk about your tweet.
Yeah, and I'll bring it around what you're talking about. It's great you're getting Daryl on because the impact what he's done these past few weeks in 2022. But my point was, I was so fortunate that I got to be with Boria Salming day in, day out, and watch him practice, watch him play games with a really good league team in the 70s for a brief period of time, then not so great a one, but still, you know, play at a Hall of Fame level. And with all due respect to Dave Keon and others, I know about them. I didn't see them firsthand. So Borja Sáming is the greatest Leaf I have ever seen on the ice, and that's no slight to Daryl Sittler, who's coming up, or Matt Sundin, or anybody else that played for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, you know, that's it on the ice, and you guys can articulate that, and, you know, everybody out there, you know, and just, you know, off the ice, like, just what I loved is the way he attacked on the ice and off the ice with so much life and so much vigor and so much personality and larger than life. And, you know, and in the end, he attacks it with this debilitating disease. And, I mean, who's able to fly over from Sweden to Canada in the state that Borja is in? And I called him, and I kid, the Swedish James Bond. Like, he does, you know, he became a rock star post-career in both Sweden and Canada. So I did, like, that larger-than-life personality, we talked decades later, it never was whatever became of Borja Sáming, everybody knew. And you know, what I find interesting is, and I was chatting with Damian Cox about this, that in 2022, what happened, and it's funny, it was so organic, that first of all, the weekends lined up that TSN has had the Friday night Hockey Hall of Fame game. They've got that whole weekend. They sponsor it. So they start with that game. That's an unusual Friday night home game. And Hockey Night in Canada, who pays a lot more money, Sportsnet, said, hey, we want in on this. We want a Saturday game. So they got the Saturday home game, too, because they want in on all the inductees being here. Now, this is well before anything was known about Borja's situation. So you've got the uniqueness that it's back-to-back home games, and one Borja gets honored as an honored member, and then the next night the Leafs are able to do it on behalf of the Leaf family, you know, to his family. And then they're playing their third-string goaltender. So the third-string goaltender is Swedish. So Eric Sjallgren starts in goal. They have two Swedish defensemen. They have three Swedish forwards. They're not putting guys out of position. They start starting lineup is six Swedes, and there's Borja, who came over, like Louis was saying earlier, the lone Swede decades ago, the lone Swede in the NHL to take on that particular era. So, you know, it was so fitting. And with Damian, we're saying, you know what? Borja gave the organization a chance to get some real soul that these past couple weeks. Montreal Canadiens do this better than anybody else. Philadelphia's pretty good, others as well. Toronto used to be terrible, have got a lot better about that, acknowledging and honoring and treasuring their past. And Daryl's been a big part of that over the years. And this was just a weekend that everything got hit out of the stands. Like, you felt good about the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, you felt good about their history. You know, kids that are normally bored when something's going on the ice, who is that guy? I don't know. Who's Gord Stellick? Who's whatever? I don't know. They go, wow, 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 this is moving. Like, who? Tell me more about this guy. And I got to say, Wally, that I think is a neat part, that the Borja memory may be as big as much as anything else, but be what we experienced the last 2 weeks. So it's something that, you know, Lou talks about treasuring it. You guys are same thing. Like, we all are because we're all in it that deep.
Naz, I'm gonna turn over to Lou for just a second, and then I'm gonna come back to you. Lou, I understand you and Mr. Stellick have a history, but we're here to pay tribute to Borja Sáming this morning. So, Lou, I'll give you an opportunity to engage with Gord.
Well, you know what, Gordy couldn't have said it any better. Again, playing in the National Hockey League at that early stage for me, and more or less in Sáming's later career. It was just phenomenal. I didn't get a chance to play against him as often as we played against our division, but every time he was on the ice, it was just like, I'm just watching him. The things that he did personally, he did on TV in the early 70s when I was becoming a hockey player. And it was just, and then skating with him in the summer, which was unbelievable on that note, because that's when you really get your friendships or even begin friendships, because obviously, there's a little bit of hatred sometimes when you play during the regular season. But Borja always had a smile on his face. Always. I could never remember that he never did have a smile. And he took everything with good nature. You know, when you fooled around on the ice and you'd make him look silly, which is it wasn't often. And then he'd turn around and turn you inside out. And it just kind of give you that Swedish smile. It just hit me that how privileged and honored that I was just being on the ice. And this is in August. This isn't during the regular season. This is in August of every year. It's just, for me, it was just warming. And then even when I did come here to Toronto, I was hoping that Borja would be here, but he decided to take his ventures over to Detroit. And I don't think he played that many games, especially with the hatred that Toronto had for the Red Wings back then. It was just again, I could not be more honored. And then the picture that I took with him, I think that would be a lasting memory for me.
It certainly is.
Yeah, and Lou, you know, it's, he we talked about it. He regrets going to Detroit now, but at that particular point, he wanted to try somewhere else. But, guys, one thing is Lou talks about him skating. Like, the guys skate nowadays nowhere near. I mean, so much better than 40 years ago, except for a few like Borya. Like, Borya brought that level of Patrick Kane-type skating or whatever, you know, whatever, back in the 1970s. Now, 40 years later, everyone, I mean, just, you know, so many things have improved. Doesn't mean the hockey's improved or your love of it. You still treasure the memories of those guys. But, you know, that's one thing he did on the ice. And the other thing Lou mentions is, guys, I love watching him in practice, that the love of the game. He hit practice, he hit the ice like he was an 8-year-old kid playing on an outdoor pond somewhere. Like, you know, here he is all that great, and you got all the hustle bustle, the business side of the NHL. But when he hit the ice, that kid that was just naturally great and also worked really hard, you know, to cultivate all that, was always there, even, you know, every single practice, which you know, that mental part about it is a big part of why he had that Hall of Fame career.
Gord, I know that you've been generous with your time with us today, and you've taken time out on a really, really busy schedule for you today. We won't keep you much longer. Naz, we're going to let you wrap it up with Gord. Couple of minutes more with Gord, and I know you perhaps with Borya, and perhaps you may have a comment on the current Leafs. Go ahead, Naz.
How do the Leafs discover Borya Salming, Gord?
You know, it's funny. There's a documentary just being done. Swedish TV. Borya was in Toronto last February, and Swedish TV is doing a documentary. And they went to his house. He lived in the High Park area all those years ago. Just a part of it. The owners were there. They loved that it was Borya, so they filmed inside in the house. So they got and Borya was kicking ass back last February. So to answer your question, though, that's part of it. They got different actors are playing different roles, and someone is playing the role of Jerry McNamara, you know, who at a time, you know, got maligned as a general manager, but, you know, did, you know, rode a tough era in that. But he's the guy who went over there and watched the game. And as he said, like, no one's going to Sweden then. He goes, it's like I was fishing in a stocked pond, right? And he was looking more at a couple other guys, one of them being Inga Hammerstrom, who ultimately did come over as well with Borya. But it's Borya that caught his eye, the way he played and was that kind of feistiness. And Jerry Mack, to his credit, went in the dressing room after and just, you know, said to Borya about coming. And Borya got kicked out of the game, you know, because he was kind of feisty, whatever, particularly by Swedish standards. And Jerry gave him his business card, and, you know, and Borya really didn't seem all that receptive. And it started from there. And then the most underrated guy ever in the Leaf organization, Jim Gregory, made it happen. And the Leafs were pioneers in bringing these guys over, much like the Nordiques would be in bringing the Stastny brothers over. And then, unfortunately, later on, you know, Ballard cut the budget about scouting over in Europe and things like that. And the Leafs has really got a head start about it. So ultimately, you know, they got the prize jewel in Borya Salming, and that's a credit to Jerry McNamara.
Naz, Gord's got about a minute and a half left with us. You want to get in a quick current Leafs question?
Yeah, in between periods, I heard you last night, Gord, and you were talking about Matt Murray. Is he an elite goalie?
Boy, I hope so. Boy. You know, first of all, you look back his numbers when he played at Wilkes-Barre about 5, 6, 7, 8, whenever it was years ago in the American Hockey League. And, like, his numbers were like Johnny Bower in the 60s playing for the Cleveland Barons there. Like, I mean, I didn't know who this guy was, and someone pointed it out, and you go, what? And then you didn't expect him to get called up, but Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, had some injury issues, and the guy goes, wins 2 Stanley Cups, basically, out of the hop. So I got to tell you, Naz, you know, the jury was out because of his play the last couple of years, the injuries and all that, and that's still a bit of a worry. But Toronto fans are seeing the kind of goaltending that, if you get it in the playoffs, could help take you far. And yeah, he wants to play in Toronto. I love that. He's embracing it, and you're loving his size. You're loving his deportment. He made the big save late Friday against Minnesota after Sandin made that gaffe, and defense and forward players always love someone that covers your butt that way. So, boy, there's a lot of maybe Borya. You know what? I wouldn't doubt Borya is partially responsible about that because of what those guys witnessed two nights, because they're playing their best hockey under difficult circumstances with all those injuries the last 2 weeks.
We've been chatting with Gord Stulick. You can listen in to Gord as the host of Leafs Nation on Fan 590 and Sportsnet, and co-host also of NHL Morning Skate on the NHL Network Radio. Gord, we thank you so much for taking the time. Perhaps at some future opportunity, we'll talk a little bit more Toronto Maple Leafs, the current edition. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Gord Stellick. Gentlemen, we're going to go to break. When we come back, the captain, Daryl Sittler.
It was a rainy day when I was remembering back to when I didn't know about Pizzaville. It was a rainy day when we knew that our marriage was on the rocks. The spark was gone. The fire was out. Everything was undercooked. We saw a marriage counsellor who made us realise that it wasn't our fault. It was those big pizza conglomerates. Their pizzas were so bland and doughy, all we wanted to do was roll over and go to sleep. So we tried Pizzaville, and it put a little spice and variety back into our marriage. Every week, we tried different toppings. My wife especially loves the hot Italian sausage. At Pizzaville, we make authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza. Call Pizzaville at 736-3636 or order online at pizzaville.ca.
No hard prices!
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville decided to do what it could to stop world prices from spiralling out of control. With the large pickup special, get a large one-topping pizza for only $11.99. $11.99 for a large pizza?
Long live Pizzaville! Long
Call Pizzaville for the large pickup special at 736-3636.
Rayo's got big nose!
Or online at pizzaville.ca.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Your grandkids are discovering trading cards for the first time. When you were their age, you collected all your favorite sports heroes. Maybe your younger self wants to show them the ropes. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise has a wide selection to get them started. From athletes to superheroes, relive some memories and make some new ones. Shop Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise and put a hero under their tree. Two locations in Toronto and Vaughan, or find them first at mintink.ca.
You name it, they'll argue about it. No sport left unturned. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. It's a distinct pleasure to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour this morning the captain, Daryl Sittler. Daryl, good morning and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, and good morning to you and your listeners.
Thanks so much, Daryl. I have to say this. I've been thinking about it since you agreed to come on the show, and I'm just going to very simply, on behalf of myself, I'm sure Lou and Naz will take the opportunity, and on behalf of all of our listeners and everybody at Zoomer Radio, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your class. Thank you for your humanity. Your being at center ice with Boria in that moment, choked up, and I'm getting choked up, I apologize, raising his arm and supporting your teammate and your friend was one. I will have that image in my mind forever, Daryl. I will always honor and respect you for that moment, and very simply and sincerely, on behalf of all of us, thank you so much for that moment. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Wally. It's hard to believe it's a little over 2 weeks ago that happened, and Boria's gone. Obviously, you'll miss him, but at the same time, just being around him and knowing that disease, how much any ALS patient suffers in the last number of weeks or months is difficult to watch. So blessing in disguise, I think, for Boria and his family that he passed as quickly as he did, knowing what the end result was going to be. So the fact that he got here, he wanted to be here, and for him to say goodbye to the Leaf fans, for all of us and Canadians,
to show our appreciation for what he meant to us, not only as a player, but as a person. Like I said in some of my other interviews, it couldn't have been scripted any better in my mind. And it's a moment, it's a precious moment in sport that, like you said, will be etched in many people's hearts and minds for a long time. And it was so well deserved that we had that opportunity to spend that time with Borey, and he got here to be with Canada, in Canada, but more importantly, his whole entire family, all six of his kids were here. And that was very special to him. He, one of the things I remember most about that weekend is his family. He, his wife, and daughter Teresa and Anders both said to Borya, or said to Lanny Tiger and I when they were in the suite, they'd never seen Borya as happy as he was that weekend. Getting back to Toronto and then getting to see his ex-teammates and his friends and share that time with him. So that made us all happy, and knowing that Borya was happy.
Thank you. Naz?
Darryl, what will you miss the most not having Borya around anymore?
Well, Borya made a couple annual visits a year to Canada. He would come over with a group of guys. We'd always get together. When we were a little younger, we always played in those Legends games and then went out and had a couple beers and some family time together, friendship. His wife, Pia, and my wife, Luba, became very close friends over the last number of years. And we'll just miss those visits and times together, which are special. Borya was just a down-to-earth, humble guy. Obviously, he was an awesome hockey player, but he was just a good, solid person and always enjoyed his company, so that's what we'll miss most for sure.
Lou?
Morning, Darryl.
Hey, Louie. How are you doing, buddy?
How long did it take you guys to accept Borya and Inga into the Leaf family when he first came over? And did you ever see a guy go down and block as many shots as he has and never be out of control? Like, I'm watching some of these videotapes of him, and him, he's going down, and he's got full control of his stick, where if we went down to block a shot, we'd be like a fish out of water, not knowing what the hell or how long it's going to take us to get up. He was always in control of his body, his stick, and knew exactly where everybody was.
Well, Borya was an amazing athlete. When you ask how long it took to kind of accept him, that wasn't even a thing that crossed any of our minds. The fact that he was the first European and Swedish player to come to the National Hockey League, one thing that impressed myself and everybody was his, and Inge, their level of conditioning. And it was unbelievable. And as he practiced in training camp, you could see that both of them had huge skill level, but as time went on, you could see Borya had that toughness, that mental toughness and physical toughness, and he wasn't going to be thrown off his game. And when you describe him blocking shots, he was unbelievable that way. He'd come off the ice after the end of a game. We'd be in the shower, and he was all bruised up from guys sticking him and walting him and cross-checking him and blocking shots also. But he was a superior conditioned athlete, and lots of skill, but more importantly, that competitiveness, that desire to compete, that desire to win. And he was an awesome team player. And obviously, to play 16 years in the National Hockey League, to play in the 70s, when the element of fear and courage and physicality was huge, he played his way through it to the top of the game. To me, he was one of the best defensemen ever. He didn't win the Norris, but he was second a couple times, and no disrespect for the guys that won it, but Borya could have won it as easily as them. He was is good. We didn't win the cup, and maybe those votes went the other way because of that.
We're talking to Darryl Sittler. Darryl, I was watching those pregame ceremonies, and I was in South Florida at the time and had to really go out of my way to figure out how to get it on TV, but I managed to arrange it. It left an indelible impression, but one of the impressions it left, and I'd like you to comment on, just watching the young Leaf players. And I think, you know, the fact that the Leafs did such an incredible, incredible ceremony, of which you were a huge part of in putting it together, I saw it in their eyes that, you know, the Leafs, if you give your heart and soul to the Leafs, you'll be rewarded and you'll be loved forever in the city of Toronto. And I sort of got that looking at it from Nylander, and the part about putting the six Swedish players to start the game, remarkable, remarkable testament. Your sense of the effect on some of the current Toronto Maple Leaf players?
Well, when we were walking out to center ice, we had to walk right beside the bench, and Borja was holding my arm, and I looked up and I saw this kind of the somber, stoic look on each one of those players' faces. When I saw Nylander and Borja make eye contact, I got really emotional because of the feeling both of them had for each other, obviously being players, Swedish. The other thing that entered my mind was that was 45, 50 years ago, that was Borja and I on that bench in elite uniform. So here we are all these years later. I believe what you're saying, it's a moment that we'll never get back, but it's a moment that whoever watched it, whether you're the players on the bench and playing that game, or whether you're a fan at home, or whether you're not even a Leaf fan, you're just a human being, that message will be left with everybody. So the players who play here, it's franchises, Willie knows, has a great history and tradition. I was fortunate to play with a number of guys that won the Cup in 67, guys like George Armstrong, Keon, Johnny Bauer, and it's nice that we can keep that tradition going. And moments like this obviously bring it all back in a very prominent a way that is so richly deserved for the organization. The other thing with Borja's illness, as we all know, it's such a nasty disease, and they haven't found a cure for it in 80 years or getting closer. Our teammate, Mark Curtin, who you've probably seen in a number of interviews, has helped Borja and his family through it. But Mark, he's got a lot of courage, and he's really making a difference for other ALS families and patients that are going through it. And through Borja's illness, through Borja's death, hopefully other people will benefit from it. The advocacy will continue to go on. We can raise some awareness, raise some funds so those researchers can do the things that they have to do and want to do to get rid of this disease. So yeah, that's what it's all about. And I think everybody felt that in those moments over that weekend 2 weeks ago.
Daryl, we won't keep you much longer. Naz, turn it over to you.
Daryl, before you carved the way for Europeans to come into the NHL, how important was that for him?
Well, you know, all of us who are old enough remember the 72 series, and I think most Canadian fans, North American fans, didn't have the respect for the Russians or the European players until we watched that series and saw how good and talented and the way they played it as a team. So for Borja to be the first European player, Swedish player, and to have success, I go back again after 3 years he was in the league when we had the 76 Canada Cup, the game in Toronto, Team Canada versus Sweden. Our Canadian Leaf fans gave him a larger, longer ovation than any player on Team Canada, including Bobby Orr. And that spoke volumes for me as a teammate, as a player of Borja, on the respect that Canadians and Leaf fans had for North American or European players. And Borja was the guy that obviously made those moments special. And then so many players followed. And, you know, when Borja was going through these last number of weeks when he was diagnosed with ALS, it's guys like Lidstrom. Borja was his hero. Matt Sundin, all these guys who've gone on to have very successful Hall of Fame careers showed that decency and respect that Borja so deserved, that he was the guy. And it certainly was nice to see, for sure.
Daryl, we're going to let you go. And once again, on my behalf, on behalf of Lou and Naz and all of our listeners, we thank you for your grace, class, and humanity. It's what teammates and friends do for each other. It's one of the reasons we play sports and one of the values we cherish. You did all that particular weekend and in your friendship with Borja Salming. Thank you
so much.
Thank you,
Wally. Thanks, Naz. Thanks, Louie. Have a good day, guys.
Keep well, Daryl Sittler.
Thank you. Come on.
It's a big soccer game coming on in about an hour and 15 minutes. Canada and Croatia. We'll be right back with Carmen and Marcantonio and Roberto Rusci as we prep for that game.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we received several angry letters from the general public. Pizzaville's central phone number is 736-3636. But it seems that some listeners thought I was saying 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville does not condone free sex, except among consenting adults. But to make amends to those listeners who thought they heard 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex, Pizzaville recommends that you try our hot Italian sausage on your next Pizzaville pizza, because maybe you need a little more spice in your life. So, whether it's a sunny day or a rainy day, call Pizzaville at 736-3636, not 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville, authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced that vegetarian pizzas are better for the environment. They use fewer resources than pizzas with meat, and you get less gas emissions. Try our margarita, spinach and artichoke, Greek, spicy potato, or super hot veggie pizzas. To save even more energy, you could always eat them in the dark. Call Pizzaville for the eco-friendly pizzas at 736-3636.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Last minute of play in the game.
Unlike sports, the outcome of palliative care isn't determined in the dying seconds. Physically, socially, and spiritually, palliative care is giving someone the best quality of life for however long life remains, while supporting their loved ones. All services are free of charge with partial government funding. The need for palliative care is great. Making an impact. Hospice Vaughan Mario and Nick Cortolucci Hospice Palliative Care Center of Excellence. A truly amazing 10-bed residence. The first palliative care hub in Vaughan. If you share the belief that everyone deserves to live until they die, get involved. Volunteer your time or donate to hospicevaughan.com. We are for community, by community. And together, we are here to serve.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
The only thing I love more than sports is sports radio. Take it away, boys. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, 96.7 FM, downtown Toronto, live video and live audio and video streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Canadian Soccer Hall of Famers, Carmine Marcantonio and Roberto Iarrucci. Good morning, gentlemen. Carmine, good morning.
Good morning, Walter, and everybody at the studio and all the spectators, all the audience.
All our listeners. Thank you. Roberto, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. And by the way, I was listening and I'm still wiping the tears from my eyes because Borja was my hero, too.
Yeah, it was a tough couple of weeks. Anyways, really gentlemen. Was. Yeah. Gentlemen, I got my phone looking at it here. Morocco's ahead of Belgium, 1-0 in the 82nd minute. Is that you guys watching the game?
Yes.
What's going on? Carmine, what's going on in that game? Morocco?
Well, you know what? I think this is actually a positive result for Canada because even with a tie against Croatia, it gives them a chance to qualify. I think a better chance by winning against Morocco the last game.
Okay.
So I think it's good. A good result for Canada, I think, at this point.
Roberto, Belgium and Canada.
Yeah,
Canada.
Belgium,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Wally, I'm sorry.
No, I was about to say Belgium, and we've got let's forget about Belgium and Canada for now. Croatia and Canada's coming up in 1 hour and 15 minutes. Croatia, one of the top sides in the world, as supposedly Belgium was. I always thought Belgium was a little bit overrated, but this Croatian side, I think, is a different kettle of fish for the Canadians to handle. And Herdman got them all riled up. Preface the game for us, preview the game for us today, Roberto.
I think it'll be a lot different for Canada. Belgium was there for the taking. You know, slow at the back, seven players over the age of 30. Even Kevin De Bruyne, when asked how he thought Belgium would do, he said, we have no chance, we're too old. So I don't know if he was kidding when he said it, but there's a lot of truth when you joke. And Belgium is proving that they're not worthy of the ranking, and they weren't worthy of that ranking over in the last 4-8 years that they've held it. So they've never demonstrated that they deserve to be highly ranked. Croatia, it really does deserve the respect that their coach, said in his speech when he basically berated Herdman for making that statement. Even though I think John did it, in my opinion, in a motivational way, he did it amongst his team. He was in the huddle. He was so vociferous. I think it leaked out, obviously, and then it turned into a little bit of an embarrassing moment. But on the field, it's all forgotten. Once you get on the field, you're playing the game, and all that other stuff doesn't matter.
Naz?
Guys, how good is Morocco then? They must be really good because they really should have won the game again, the first game, and then this game they're leading. How good is Morocco?
Carmen?
Yeah, Naz. I mean, Morocco is ranked, I think, 21st up there. I mean, they're ranked higher than Canada. I mean, they're good players because a lot of them playing France, and the player that just scored against Belgium plays in Italy in the Serie A with Sampdoria. Patrick Courtois made a boo-boo, I think, there on the goal, but that I just saw, and he was great against Canada, saving that penalty. So Morocco, it's still Canada, I feel, that hopefully today against Croatia is going to come up with a positive result. It's going to, like Bobby said, it's going to be tougher, I believe, because Croatia has probably the best midfield foursome in the world, I think, with Perisic on the left, Modric, we know what he could do with Real Madrid, then he was Ballon d'Or, the best player in the World Cup in 2018. Then they got Mateo Kosovic, that plays for Chelsea, played for Inter, played for Real Madrid. And the Brozovic in the middle of the field dictating is the orchestra man, the maestro of that midfield. And so it's going to be tougher, I think, for Canada. One thing I may add, Naz, on this, and Walter, I don't know if Bob agrees with me. I think John Herdman did make that mistake by using the F word. Bobby and I play for Metros Croatia, and we know how pride, the nationalistic that those people are. And Croatia, the Croatian players are not going to forget that statement. And, we're in the World Cup, we're in the stage, the greatest stage in the world in sports. And Herdman, I think, made a mistake if we look back. We didn't need to incite these players because they're already going to be motivated, the Croatians. And that wasn't, I think, it wasn't proper to do. And lack of respect,
I love John Herdman as a coach. He's done wonderful things for this program, no question. But I think it was an unfortunate remark on his behalf. I don't even know if he apologized for it or he clarified it, but I don't know how you clarify saying something like that. And you're insulting, by doing that, you're insulting a country.
Yes.
And you're insulting a people, and you're insulting a nation.
I think he walked it back. Well,
did he? Okay.
He tried to walk it back, but he didn't apologize, but he didn't deny that he said it.
No, he said it because, I mean, I get the part, it was in the heat of the moment. I get it. It was right after a really difficult, not difficult game. We dominated supposedly the second highest rated team in the world. We dominated. Canada dominated that game. But we didn't find a way to win it. And he must have been terribly frustrated after that game. And you're going to have that circle around where everybody's listening. You got to be careful what you say. And you know he should have walked it back. He should have unqualifiedly apologized for it. He should have said, "I'm sorry. I no disrespect. I apologize to Croatia and the Croatian people. I didn't mean what I said." But you know, Herdman. I'm not going to criticize Herdman in terms of what he's done with this team. So,
let's talk. I mean, he's done wonderful things. Psychological genius.
Yeah, maybe this was a psychological ploy. I don't know,
Wally. Well, he made a big mistake against Belgium, starting Alphonso Davies. Alphonso Davies had a good first 10 minutes, and after that he disappeared, notwithstanding the penalty that he shouldn't have taken, and he missed. But he was on the left. Canada hardly ever came down the left side. Davies was not involved, and he didn't have very much to do defensively. So in the end, he probably would have been better tactically if he had come off the bench and in the second half become a bit of a secret weapon, and you could see that he's not fit. When you have when you pull your hamstring, you know, who's kidding who? You're going to be back on the field in 3 weeks? Not totally. I don't think so.
Kahneman, do you agree with that assessment?
No, I agree with Bobby 100%. We discussed this in the past, and it would have been better for Canada, for John Herdman, had he used Davis off the bench in the second half for two reasons. One is because he comes from, 2 weeks of rehabilitation on the hamstring. And I had that injury. And believe me, when you get on the field and you got to sprint again, the hamstring could go anytime. And like Bobby said, not because he missed a penalty, even though he shouldn't have taken that penalty, because there are other players that's better than him that take the penalty. He doesn't take him at Bayern. I don't think he took it to Vancouver. So, anyhow, notwithstanding that, I think Herdman, even against Croatia today, if he's going to obviously start in the left, he shouldn't be starting, they should go with the back four, because they cannot give against Croatia the space that Belgium had. And Belgium being a bit more, with the Bruyne being on the day because he was on an off day, and with a younger team, they killed us, in the counterattack. They could have we were exposed, let's put it that way.
Yep.
So I think he should start with four in the back, with Sam Adegbunle. I don't know why this kid doesn't start, because I think he's a great player, and he's more defensive than David. He could cover that left flank much better than David. And just think for a moment, if Davis plays in the flank like that, he's got to sprint back to go defensively, 30, 40, 50 yards. If he plays up more as a third left wing, let's say more as a left wing, he doesn't need to sprint back 50 yards. He only goes back 20 yards, so he saves himself. So I think he should go with the four in the back, and more or less with the same with the same formation. I think they did really well, but we still haven't scored a goal. We still have 0 points. So let's not kid ourselves. There's a whole thing to, Canada, if they want to be on this stage, they got to start waking up and scoring goals. Because at the end of the day, that's what counts, Walter. You do sports for a lifetime. What counts is winning at the end of the day, scoring goals, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Lou, I'll give you an opportunity to get into this conversation.
Oh, well, guys, how are you? Being an ex-athlete.
Hi, Lou.
Hi, guys. I know the coach's remark was a bonehead remark, because now you're playing against Croatia, who is probably one of the top two or three teams in the world.
And they went to the finals of the World Cup just four years ago and lost on a controversial goal that I wouldn't have given. This is not a team or a nation that you disrespect. That's what I don't understand. But go ahead, finish your comment.
You got to remember, Croatia is one of the most physical teams that play in the World Cup. They're almost second to Germany, and they're known for that. So that remark, and I know this, we're putting this ahead of the game. We got to watch what the Croatians are going to do, because they might take this personally.
Yeah.
And as the game goes on, let's watch how the physicality becomes an issue in the soccer game. I'm watching the Belgium right now.
Yeah.
Belgium, this isn't the real Belgium team. They're down 2-0.
2-0 now.
Down 3-0. I can't see how they're ranked in the top two in the world.
I just got a 2-0 on my phone. Going back to that point, Kadmin and Bob, you know, Canada, you know, I think we have to realize, you know, for some reason we're trying to send a message that we deserve to be at the World Cup. And I don't know why we seem to have this need to get this message out. Of course we deserve to be at the World Cup. We finished first in the CONCACAF. We don't have to prove that. You know, and we proved it in the first game. Now, you got to take on this Croatian team today. I think we're going to find out a lot. I think we're going to find out a lot about Canadian soccer today, to what level. And this is no disrespect to the Canadian team. How far we've become a world-class soccer team. I think we're about to find out today, are we not? Kadmin and then Bob.
Yeah, Walter, point well made. I think at the end of the day, you know, Erdman on that huddle, that's what you call it. The reason why it came out, because he showed the two big balls, right? Not soccer balls, those other things. And I think that then he was honest to admit it, and what he said, that the boys did show well against Belgium, okay? But they're losing 2-0 to Morocco, as Lou said. Now we have to see what we're made of, you know, what this team is made of. They got good players, young players, good talent. We've come a long way, Canada. We've come a long way as far as football is concerned to be on this stage, okay? We could be on this stage. We could be one of the top teams in CONCACAF for years to come, and we're going to have a World Cup. But today is the key as far as I'm concerned. We'll have to see what these boys are made of, right?
I don't think Canada's ever been internationally. I don't know. I'd have to go back a long way that it's in the position it's in today. We are talking about moving through this group and qualifying for the next round. No, this Canadian team is the finest Canadian team I've ever seen. They proved that on Wednesday they can play at a world-class level. They took on and dominated a team that, okay, they may not deserve to be rated number two, but they're considered one of the top teams in the world. And Canada dominated them in that game. So, you know, we have the ability to play with the big boys. We've proved that. Today we're going to find out if we have the ability to play with the big boys when the big boys have taken a notice of us and have set their sights on us. I think that may be a different challenge. Bob, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they need to learn how to get results. Sometimes you have to play a little bit more intelligent and less attractive to get a win, to get a tie. Let's not forget that in 1982, Italy were the world champions, and in the first round,
Cameroon.
They tied three times against lesser opponents, and they played pitifully, and they were lambasted in the press, and after that, they became the best team in the world. I'm not saying that Canada needs to do that, but they need to understand that against Belgium, that opportunity is gone now. But, my God, to not come away with a result is tragic. And now they have to play, as you said, arguably one of the best teams in the world, really, based on what they've done. And that was noted by the coach with regard to not being being treated as a team that Canada can turn up and roll them over. Well, they can't, and it's going to be tough. And I think Morocco is the top team in this group, by the way. I think Morocco is the harder team for Canada to play tactically than Croatia.
Yeah, that's everybody keeps talking about Belgium and Croatia. Morocco's 21st in the world, and
they're a good team.
Yeah, so we're certainly the next couple of games we're going to find out how, and we're thrilled about this Canadian team. There's nothing I'm saying today at all that I want to be perceived as being down or critical. Where this is just just edge criticism, trying to be constructive in areas. Perhaps Herdman could have done something differently in the first game, but that's sports. In sports, criticism always follows. Naz, we've only got about a minute left. Real quick with Kadmin and Bob.
One thing I texted you, Wally, after one of the upsets this past week. How much has the gap really gotten smaller for the weaker teams now. There's not many weak teams anymore, guys.
Kaidaminet, really quickly, I'll give you 30 seconds, and then I'll give Bob the gap between the so-called lesser teams and the so-called higher teams seems to have tightened in some respect, unless you count the Spain-Costa Rica game.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, you know, the world football is basically popular now, and you got players from Japan playing in Germany. We got Canadian boys playing top league in Europe and so on. The African nation, when we say Morocco, we got Jaic and the other superstar, the right fullback of his name.
I'm going to have to turn over to Bob really quickly. Yeah. Bob, the gap has narrowed, hasn't it?
Well, it's narrowed. And Roberto Bettega, our friend from the former Italian national program, said it best. These athletes are so good today from every part of the world that the space is reduced. So when the space is reduced, you have less opportunities to go to goal. And Roberto's thought was maybe we should drop a player. They should play 9 in a goalie instead of 10 in a goalie.
Okay.
And then the cream will rise to the top again.
Bob, we've got to go. Kaidaminet, and we've got to go. We thank you very much for this. Lou, thank you so much. All I'm going to say is go, Canada, go. Naz, last word.
Forza, Canada.
Forza, Canada.
Yes, the red.
Got to get out of the studio. Got to get in my car and go home and watch the game. To all our listeners, enjoy the game, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Have a fantastic week. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.